Let me lead us in prayer for today's message. Lord Jesus, thank you for all of the ladies that are here, all of the mothers. We just pray, God, that they would especially sense your presence and how grateful we are for each of them. God, we do pray for this church, Greenhouse Community Church, God, that this church would enjoy a time of peace. God, that you would strengthen this church and encourage this church by the Holy Spirit. Help us to continue to grow in numbers, God, and help new people, even here today, to see that they are an answer to our prayer. Do such great things in us and through us as a church congregation that only you get the glory. Help us to be amazed at your power, and may today's message be done with a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Once there was this hurting mother. She was just really stressed out, and all of a sudden, the telephone rang. She hobbled over to pick up the phone, and the person on the other end of the phone said, "Hi, darling, how are you doing today?" "Oh, Mom," said the hurting young mother, "I'm really hurting. The washing machine upstairs has broken down. The house is just an absolute mess. The baby won't eat. I haven't done any shopping, and I'm supposed to have all of these couples come over to our house for dinner tonight. I'm just doing absolutely terrible." The lady on the other end of the phone line said, "Have a seat, sit down, relax, take a deep breath. I'll be over in 30 minutes. I'm going to call a repairman to have the washing machine fixed. I'm going to do all of the shopping and cook the dinner for tonight. I'm going to come to your house. I'm going to feed the baby. Sit down, relax, and that's not all I'm going to do. I'm going to call George right now and tell George he needs to leave the office at once to help you out for once." "George? Who's George?" "You know, George, your husband. Is this 284-1373? No. This is 284-1376. Oh, I'm sorry. I must have the wrong number." There was a short pause, and the hurting mom said, "Does this mean you're not coming over to help?" I think you would agree that that young mother was hurting. And maybe you're here today, you're saying, "You know what, Jeff? My life as a mother, as a grandmother, it's perfect. All of my children, all of my grandchildren are straight-A students at school. They're all walking closely with the Lord. They all have a fantastic marriage. Everyone in the family is in fantastic health. I can't think of any problems in our family." Now, if that's you, today's message is not for you. Today's message is for the hurting mother, the hurting grandmother. Maybe you're saying, "Jeff, I'm not a mother, I'm not a grandmother." It's for anyone here today that's going through a tough time in their life. It's for the hurting purpose. And all of us from time to time go through difficulty. Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble." So today I want to talk on this Mother's Day about a hurting mother. And this hurting mother we read about in Matthew chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 15, and this is on page 948 of your chair Bibles. Matthew 15, page 948 of your chair Bibles. And what we're going to see in this passage of scripture is that this hurting mother is hurting because her daughter is demon-possessed. Her daughter's not in her right mind. Her daughter's doing all these wild and crazy things, and it's hard to watch her daughter do this. This mother is hurting. So I've titled today's message, trying to take this passage of scripture that's so relevant and applicational to our lives today in a message I've titled, Help for the Hurting Mother. Help for the Hurting Mother. And again, you could even cross out mother. You could just title it, Help for the Hurting Person. So maybe you're here today, you're not a mother, you're not a grandmother, but there are areas of your life where your heart is heavy. Today's message is for you. What we're going to see in this passage of scripture as we work verse by verse through Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, all the way down to verse 28, is throughout the message, I want to encourage us to cry out to Jesus. That's the theme of my message today. Cry out to Jesus. And as we go verse by verse through this passage of scripture, I want to share with us three principles. So what's principle number one? First, cry out to Jesus with your problem. Cry out to Jesus with your problem. Look in your Bibles at Matthew 15, verse 21 and verse 22. Verse 21, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. So what does this woman do? She has a problem, but she cries out to Jesus with her problem. And that's exactly what a woman did that worked on my previous church's staff. This was a hurting mother. She called me one night. It was a Friday night. I was driving. And she said, Jeff, this is what's happened. My husband just got pulled over for another DUI. He's going to lose his job. Well, I knew behind the scenes that that was going to put tremendous financial pressure on this family. This guy was going to lose his job. They had three children living at home. This was a very difficult situation. Just put yourself in my shoes just for a minute. What do you say to that mom that's hurting so much? So I drew back on my days as a U.S. Army chaplain in the war in Iraq. And I remember in some situation, there was such a crisis in the counseling session that I found myself in the war zone of Iraq. I didn't know what to say, but I just started singing that classic hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And I used that in my counseling session in the war in Iraq. And I thought, what am I going to say to this woman? So I actually started singing that classic hymn. And it's a timeless principle. We can take our cares, our problems, our trials, our sufferings, our heartbreaks to Jesus Christ. Because he cares. In fact, the Bible says that he was a man of sorrows and he was familiar with suffering. You know how your heart breaks today. And maybe you're saying, you know what, Jeff? No one else knows how my heart is breaking. Jesus knows. He cares. He was a man of sorrows and he was familiar with suffering. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to be rejected by his family. He knows about your pain. He cares about your pain. And as a child of God, not only that, you know what the Bible says? Who is he that condemns? Romans chapter 8. Christ Jesus. More than that, who is raised to life, is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. Did you know that as a child of God, Jesus Christ not only cares, but he's praying for you. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows the heartache. He knows the pain in your life. Cry out to Jesus with your problem. And he knows about it. What I found amazing about that hymn as I did a little research on that this week is that, did you know that that hymn was written in 1855 by a man that was living in Canada, and he wrote a poem to help comfort his hurting mother that was living in Ireland at the time? I want to encourage you. Cry out to Jesus with your problem. And then secondly, cry out to Jesus with your prayer. Cry out to Jesus with your prayer. Look in your Bibles at verse 23 all the way down to verse 25. Verse 23. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Notice there are only three words in that prayer. She's not going through all of these theological phrases and all of these terms and all these definitions. It's a very simple prayer. It's a three-word prayer. Lord, help me. And I think if all of us were honest with one another, there are times in our life, even recently, we're going through some crisis where all we can say is, "Jesus, help me." That's where this mom is in this passage. And I believe that even though this passage was written thousands of years ago, some of us are here in this passage even today. There's a tremendous trial in our life, a tremendous moment of suffering. All we can say is, "Jesus, help me." And he hears your cry. He hears your prayer. There's nothing fancy about it, but it is prayer. "Lord, help me." And I believe that even here today, some of us have cried that out to Jesus even in the last 24 hours about some crisis in our life. We've said, "Jesus, help me. I can't do this. Help me." That's prayer. He hears your cry. Cry out to Jesus with your prayer. And that's exactly what my mother-in-law had to do for decades and decades. I'm privileged to have a very godly mother-in-law. I'm privileged to have a great mother. I'm privileged to have a great godly wife as well. But my mother-in-law, I look forward to the day that you get to meet her, but she was hurting so much. A couple of the areas that she was hurting in is my wife Maggie has two brothers in her family, an older brother named Fernando. He's the oldest in the family. And then the youngest child in the family is also a brother. His name is Raul. Well, Maggie's oldest brother, Fernando, was living in Lima, Peru, and he sensed the call to be a pastor. So he left Peru and traveled to Argentina to a Bible college there where he was going to study to be a pastor. But he got in with the wrong crowd, and he started doing drugs. And for 2 years, my mother-in-law had no idea if her son that was training to be a pastor was even alive. She didn't hear from him for 2 years, but she never quit praying until one day he showed up at her doorstep. And today, more than 20 years later, he's working in his local church. He has a great Christian wife. He's serving the Lord. I want to encourage you, cry out to God. There's hope. She never quit praying. And I also think of my brother-in-law. For 22 years, he was far from the Lord and involved with the things of this world. He did not want anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. But for 22 years, my mother-in-law faithfully prayed for his salvation. In the last couple years, he's come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. So I want to encourage you, whatever you're praying about, don't give up. Whatever you're praying about, I want to encourage you that Jesus Christ can answer that prayer. The Bible says in the book of James, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You know what that means? The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous mother is powerful and effective. And we see that lived out and fleshed out in the case of my brother-in-law's. One, far from God for a couple years, and then returning back to my mother-in-law's doorstep. And my brother-in-law, Raul, far from the Lord for 22 years, and he's come to Jesus Christ for salvation. So I want to encourage you that your prayer as a godly mother, as a godly grandmother, as a godly lady is powerful and effective. So cry out to Jesus with your prayer. And then finally today, cry out to Jesus with your persistence. Cry out to Jesus with your persistence. Look in your Bibles at verse 26 all the way down to verse 28. Verse 26. But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Let's stop right there. You know what we see about this woman? She never quits. She never gives up. She doesn't take no for an answer. And I want to ask you, moms, what is the problem that you're facing in your family? Now, maybe it's a family member with some addiction, or maybe it's some family member that's just in tremendous physical pain. Or maybe it's a family member, an adult child that's made some bad decisions, and there are some consequences that they're living out. I don't know what it is for everyone, but I do know that all of us, even the most godly mother, at times there are problems that she has in her family. So my question to you is not what's your problem, but rather, have you given up? Have you given up praying about that situation, or are you persisting in prayer? And Jesus wants to encourage you today to live a life of persistent prayer. I think of what he talks about, and I'm going to be there in a few years, in the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18. But in this parable, verse 1 starts off with this. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. You know what? I may not know your problem. Jesus does, but I promise you this, his will for your life, I promise you this, no matter what your problem, he doesn't want you to give up. He wants you to continue and to persist about that area that's heavy on your heart. He wants you to pray and not to give up about that problem in your life. Let me illustrate with Monica, the mother of Augustine. Now, Monica, the mother of Augustine, she lived hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. She goes back to the 4th century. She lived in northern Africa. And she came from a Christian home. She was a Christian, but she married this man that was much older than she was. And this man had a temper, and this man even committed adultery against her. So here was a Christian lady that really wanted to follow Christ, and yet her heart was breaking. She was hurting so much. And to make matters worse, she had this son by the name of Augustine. And Augustine was really smart, but he just had no interest in the things of God, no interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Monica just kept praying and pleading with him to become a Christian. He just continued to live a very, very, very wild lifestyle. Just as wild as you can imagine it, that's the life that Augustine was living. Well, he was really smart, and he was going to go off to Rome, Italy. And his mom thought, how is my prayer even being answered? And maybe you feel like that in your own life. I've prayed about something for so long, and God, it just seems like it's getting worse. And that's how Monica felt. She felt, God, I've been praying about Augustine for salvation for years, and now he's going off to Rome, and Rome in that day and age was the Las Vegas of the day and age. It was just a very, very wicked city. And she thought, God, this is just going from bad to worse. So she followed her son to Rome. Come to find out, he wasn't living in Rome. He had moved to Milan. And she followed him to Milan. And there, she befriended this well-known Christian pastor, the bishop, Bishop Ambrose. And Ambrose was this outstanding pastor, this outstanding theologian, this outstanding Christian speaker. And she went to Ambrose and said, look, would you pray for my son? Pray for his salvation. And he agreed in Jesus' name to pray for Augustine for his salvation. Well, never doubt what can happen when Christians join together and pray together and agree together in Jesus' name. One day, Augustine, living this very wicked lifestyle, he got to the point he just realized, my life, I'm living a life of despair. My life is awful. And he just cried out to God one day. He said, God, how long am I going to live my life in despair? How long am I going to live my life in this unclean way? And that moment, as soon as he finished praying, he could hear some neighborhood kids. And these neighborhood kids were across the fence, and they were singing this nursery rhyme or children's song popular in that day and age. And there was a part of the song that said, take up and read, take up and read. He sensed that was God speaking to him. So he went inside his house, grabbed a Bible, opened it up at random, and he came to that passage in Romans where the Apostle Paul writes, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. He read that verse and he said at that moment he believed. And his life went forward in Christ, and he became one of the greatest Christian leaders, the greatest theologians in church history. In fact, it was Augustine that said, our hearts are restless until we find our rest in him, meaning Christ. So here's someone that had the great education, had the things of this world, living a very wicked lifestyle, and yet he realized that only Christ could give him salvation. Only Christ could meet the deepest needs of his life. But he had a mother that never quit praying for him. She persisted in prayer. I want to encourage you. Are you persisting in prayer or have you given up? I want to encourage you to cry out to Jesus with your persistence. I titled today's message, Hope for the Hurting Mother. We looked at Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, all the way down to verse 28. And throughout the message, I wanted to encourage us, cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus, and I shared three principles. First, cry out to Jesus with your problem. Second, cry out to Jesus with your prayer. And third, cry out to Jesus with your persistence. Dr. Ben Carson had a mother that cried out to God. Ben Carson grew up in a home where it was a single-parent home. An African-American single-parent home in the inner city of Detroit. His mom couldn't read, and she struggled with anxiety and depression. And she got so desperate in her life. Here she is, a single mom trying to raise these boys, struggling financially, struggling with anxiety and depression. This is what she cried out to God. God, I'm asking you to be my best friend. I don't have any friends. Be my best friend. I need your help. And I'll tell you, God really answered that prayer. He gave her tremendous wisdom. And this true story is told in the movie Gifted Hands, which I encourage everyone to watch. But in the movie, God does give her wisdom, and she discovers that her children are watching too much TV. And it'd be great if the kids were in here now, because I'm sure that many of the kids would respond and say, I wish I had a mother like this. But she realized that I need to restrict my child's TV. So she limited her children to only watching two TV programs a week, but she made them do two book reports on two books that they would have to read every single week. And what ended up happening is Ben Carson went on to get an academic scholarship to Yale University. He became one of the greatest brain surgeons in world history. Today, he's a very committed Christian. But I really believe it goes all the way back to his godly mother crying out to God. You know that one prayer that God answers immediately is when a sinner calls on Jesus for salvation. Have you ever come to that point in your life where you've admitted that you're a sinner? You believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sin. Only his shed blood can wash away your sin. You've called on Jesus for salvation, and you've decided to follow Jesus no matter what the cost. I want to give you an opportunity to respond. So with all eyes closed and heads bowed, maybe you're saying, you know what? I've never called on Jesus for salvation before, but today I want to make that decision. If that's you, I won't embarrass you, but would you slip up your hand? Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. So applicational and relevant to our lives. Help us to be a congregation that from now until Jesus Christ comes again, that we would be known as a congregation that cries out to Jesus. Help us to never quit, to never give up, but to persist in prayer. All in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.